Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Let's Watch podcast. I'm your host, James, with my co-host, Carolyn, who is alive, even though they don't sound like it.
I'm fine.
Yeah, fine is doing a lot of work there. Carolyn's very tired, but yeah. I don't think, even though the tiredness might make it seem like she might not be a fan of these movies, I don't know if you are or not, but the first one we're talking about is RRR. The Bollywood movie that's on Netflix and kind of became like a thing, at least culturally for a bit, because people were talking about it. And in my knowledge, I should say this is the first Bollywood film I've ever seen as well. But in my knowledge, this is like the first one that's like really crossed over to mainstream and was playing in theaters in North America, which I know has happened before with other Bollywood movies, but actually felt like a thing that was getting covered by the traditional media. But anyway, Carolyn, try to summarize this movie.
Yeah, maybe this is the movie that will make people realize that Bollywood is dope and wild. Okay, so it's called RRR, also known as Rise, Roar, Revolt. They did do a lot of roaring in this movie. So, a fictitious story about two legendary revolutionaries and their journey away from home before they started fighting for their country in the 1920s. And that is a spoiler in the thing itself, because mm-hmm. when the movie first starts, you do not know that they're both revolutionaries. And I love that about it.
No, it's, well, you kind of know after they get through the intro, which is like an hour long.
So, a third of the way through the movie.
Yeah. Definitely, yes. I would
this
say
this movie was wild, though, because it takes the intros of the characters take forever. It takes forever to get to the actual plot. But I've never seen, I've seen parts of Bollywood movies here and there, but I've never seen like a period piece Bollywood movie. So that's kind of cool.
Same. I've never seen a Bollywood movie, but I've seen clips and segments from them. And it has always been more of like a modern setting, and they've always been action films, I should say, as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I should say I watched this on Netflix in the dubbed version. So I didn't see the...
You watched dubbed?
Well, that was the only one available on Netflix.
No, I watched subbed.
No, I had dubbed and subbed.
Interesting. I watched it in Hindi.
Yes, I watched it in Hindi too, which is not the original language. It's a Tagalog language, so it is dubbed and subbed in Netflix. That the original version does not exist on Netflix. It was only available in theaters. So it is, but this is very common, obviously, in Bollywood. It's like they have to do this for most of, if not all of their films. So they've gotten quite good at it. Like I should say that the dub, although it doesn't match the lips, like the acting felt like it was the it matched the people and it was good. It didn't feel like what, you know, I guess we would assume we're used to when it's like English dubs of foreign films and they're terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this one when we first started playing it was actually in Portuguese for some reason, which was really weird because we were watching it and we're like, this seems wrong, this is not an Indian language. Figured it out, put it in Hindi, and then it was better. And then the lips actually did match up more than the Portuguese, at least. Partly because in this movie, like many Bollywood movies, they do speak a little bit of hybrid in that, like, some of this stuff, all the English stuff is actually in English. Mm-hmm. And I've had many Indian friends who they speak Hindi or whatever language they're speaking, but with English mixed in. That's just how the language is these days. So
yes,
there was a lot of that, too.
I should say that there is at least one actor that people might recognize if they've not seen a Bollywood film before, and that is that Ray Stevenson is in this film. And as I when he popped up, I was like, oh, I'm not gonna lip read what he's saying, I'll just read the subs. But I was like, there is, I would assume, no way that man has learned another language.
Oh no, he's speaking English in the version that I saw. It's English.
Oh no, he is, but it's like it's still dubbed, right? But I did not hear Ray Stevenson's on Netflix. It was not his voice that was speaking to me.
Mm-hmm.
Except for like when they would be yelling. But anyway, I since this is our first both real experience in some way to a Bollywood film, I should say that I enjoy this movie quite a lot. It's ridiculous.
Oh, so much so.
And I did enjoy the intro was just like, hey, here are these, your two fictional heroes, and let's just get them basically, well, one of them will just be almost naked the whole time. And the other one, we will also give him his shirtless shot. I was like, this is just what, like, reminded me of older action films from Hollywood in a way. Obviously, then they took it and made it their own thing and, like, took it to, like, 12. But it was very much felt more about, like, it was just, like, about these two men and where they come from. And
but it takes, like, an hour to introduce them.
Yeah, but it's not boring. You're like, this is insane.
It was insane. But does each guy need a half hour long scene where you're like, wow, he's a badass? You know? I mean, he does. The answer is yes, he does.
Yes, the answer is yes. But I guess like they kind of, if you're doing it this way, you have to give them equal weight, right? Because they're totally equals. And they're the two that are the legends. Everyone else is not as important. And really, there's not that many speaking roles in this movie, really. I should say I had no idea what I was getting in for. I'd had someone tell me that, like, hey, this movie's like insane, but in the best way, and it's like this big over the top action film that should be gay. But
100%. I loved that. It was like two insane guys. I first off loved that we didn't know that the policeman, if he was good or bad. I mean, partway through we're like, okay, no, he's bad. But at the beginning, he's just there and there's some sort of revolt or something like that, riots. And then he goes and like beats the shit out of everyone. And you're like, this is awesome. But are we supposed to be cheering for him? Like, is he
I thought he was the bad guy. I was like, this is a bad man. He's beating up people because for the government.
But they didn't show it in a way like, you know how in those scenes you can tell that the person's like evil and terrifying? In this, he was just like, I don't know. Yeah, kind of. But I love that. So we get two big scenes of these guys being crazy. And then the crazy scene, one of my favorite in the whole movie, where they save that kid in the most bizarre way. And we're like, and they're communicating with hand signals and stuff. And I was like, how? Then they both jump off the bridge. I was like, how is that what they got from this? And then it was like, wait, what's with the flag? Because it was like very patriotic. There was a flag. There was a child. They switched the flag and the child. And I was like, is the flag just for dramatic effect? And then he whips it around himself. And I'm like, it's to protect him from fire. Because these guys have thought of everything. And then
never make mistakes.
Well, yeah. And we get like a 20-minute montage of them being extremely homoerotic besties forever. I was like, yes. This is the weirdest movie. But everything in this movie is so extra. Like, it's not just, they're not just badass. They're like extra badass. And in that scene where the cop is angry and he's like trying to find the guy that he's just been chasing, it like does this camera pan. It doesn't need to do this huge camera pan, but it goes from like from the beach to the bridge, to the sky, to the universe, you know? And I'm like, this is so extra. Everything they do is like three steps more than they need to. And it's amazing.
Yes, I agree with all of that. This movie's great and it's a ton of fun. I should say, like, it is over 3 hours and I normally don't do this, but I watched 2 hours and then came back to it because I was just like, okay.
Shame on you. I watched this one all the way through. I did get up to go to the bathroom about 6 times, but I did watch it all in one sitting.
Okay. Partly because I was like, I have some criticisms about this film, as much as I enjoy it. And it's just kind of a movie that you're like, sit there and it's like, fuck yeah. And then, you know, you don't really need to dive much that into it to like really like get much out of this movie. I think it's like, it's all pretty explicit in what it's saying to you. Like, it's very like, hey, the British Empire sucks. And I'm like, yeah, I agree.
Though it is interesting because they kind of, there's a point in the movie, like it starts political and then there's a point in the movie where it's really not about that at all. Like the whole middle chunk of the movie, it's like the power of friendship and the cop is trying to find the guy, but it has nothing to do with like what we saw at the beginning, like the unrest. We don't see any of that in the middle section of the movie. It does become that again towards the end, but yeah, it's interesting. But I guess in theory, since it's like a historical and colonial like Bollywood movie, I guess it's political by nature. But I do remember thinking, you set up this whole thing and then now we're like in dance scenes and love story and friendship, and I'm like, where is the politicalness?
Yeah, for Beam it was that, and that I think is the like where I kind of like one of my two major issues with the film is that I just didn't care in any way about the relationship with Jenny, and I should say the movie doesn't either, because her character is like essentially dropped from the movie
until she appears at the end for no reason. I did, yes. Like
he puts her in the car and then we don't see her till the end of the film.
Yeah, I did like their little flirtation scenes only because it was funny. There was no comedic relief in the movie other than that.
No. But I do think that is something that I just didn't care about that much. Mm-hmm. I still enjoyed the scenes that as they were happening, but mm-hmm. when you were like, when she popped up again, I was like, oh, right. Jenny, was in this. I have no, I completely forgot about it in it. Like I completely forgot about them in every way. And I was like, oh, okay. And like, I should say, I do like the dance scene, even though it was like when that started happening, I was like, what the fuck is this?
Oh, but that's a Bollywood movie trope. There's always at least one big dance number. There's actually a whole trend in Bollywood where I mean they didn't have one in this movie, but there's what is it called, I think it's like icon songs or token songs or something like that, where it's like there's always like a female song where the female gets to do her thing and be like the object of desire and whatever. It's like a trope, but anyways, for the guys they don't have that song, but they usually have an epic dance number.
Well, they have two in this film. They have one there where I wouldn't say Jenny's like the focus of it, really. It felt more about like their two relationship between like,
oh, Rom, yeah, it wasn't about her Beam. At all. Mm-hmm.
The one at the end, definitely, I feel like, because they had Sita into that. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I should say all of the actors in this movie are like ultra famous and
ultra attractive.
They're all too hot. It's like a little, I should say that the guy who plays Ram or Raju, Ram mm-hmm. Charan, is like one of the hottest people I've seen in my life.
He looks like a completely different guy by the end of the movie.
Well, he shaves the beard and has the mustache.
And he has this long hair and he's like all shirtless and stuff. Whereas before he's all like very tidy and put together.
Yes, but both of the leads are like incredibly buff and butch dudes.
Yeah.
And I was just like, how is this movie? Because they do have like objectify their bodies in a way of being like, look how ripped they are. And they're mm-hmm. like rippling muscles. And it reminded me very much of like 80s movies in that way of being like this unrealistic depiction of the male body. But it didn't seem
as... What's weird is it for boys or is it for girls?
I think it's for everybody.
Yeah.
I think only because I know a little, don't know much about Indian culture or like Bollywood culture in general, but from what I do know about it, is I feel like that they would be that specifically for women. Like I do know it's like very conservative there still. Mm-hmm. And that's why I was like, there's zero chance they're going to make this movie queer, but it would be better for it if it was queer. If these two were like their friend montage was them just falling in love, would have been, I was just like, this is very, we're almost there already.
What's so interesting is that kind of montage would never be made here because people would assume it's gay. But I think there's something to be said for the fact that this is a Bollywood movie and it's a different culture, that no one is going to sit there and be like, this is gay. You know what I mean?
No. And I completely agree with that. And even when they're like, you can see it in the way it's like, they would never show these two men. If this was a movie made in Hollywood where they were like, they're very like affectionate with each other in a way of like physical touch.
Mm-hmm.
Right, like they're always like they grab each other's shoulders, they grab each other's faces, and that. But I think that's just that their culture, right?
Yeah, it's a cultural thing. Yeah.
Whereas if this was in Hollywood, that's like in our culture, it's like shown as like a sign of weakness, like that's not masculine.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas these two very extremely masculine men, in ridiculous ways, I should say, I was just like, I was laughing in the intro scenes. Or in the second one, because that one with like the tiger and everything, I was just like, this is okay. This is the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. And I love it. And I was just like, this is so over the top and ridiculous. And then their friend montage, I was just laughing the whole time because I was 100%. Like, this is these two guys have known each other for like, it's like, yes, I also saved the child from the burning waters after a train blew up, even though the kid from a couple angles looked like could easily swim out and just stood there and let the fire circle him, have then decided to become best friends. And they're like going out on walks in the wilderness together and, you know, riding bikes and a horse together and then also working out. And I was like, this is, I love this. And
but hardly
way.
Working out, mostly like moonlit walks on the beach.
I loved
through
it.
The like steam of a train, you know?
Yeah. And I loved it. And I think when the movie's like that and like through the scenes with Jenny, it's a lot of fun. But also at the beginning where it's like talking, it sets up the British Empire stuff. And then when it gets back there, which I still think works, and I liked everything about it, and like their eventual like realization that they're working against each other, kind of, or you know, Rom is an agent of the state, or at least pretending to be pretty effectively.
Yeah, man, this is like a Romeo and Juliet story though, where it's like, oh, I deceived you and you deceived me. Oh, but I wasn't actually deceiving you, you just thought I was, but then you were mad, so you deceived me. Like in Romeo and Juliet, where it's like, oh, you're dead. Oh, you're not dead. Oh, but I'm dead now. Well, now you're actually dead. It's the same thing. And then I just thought it was hilarious that Rom was like, oh, man, like, I won't sacrifice Beam, even though he was already going to.
Yes.
And I understood I understood it from the get-go when he didn't want to sacrifice Beam because it's like, you need the guns. But then he was like, he hit a point where he's like, I don't need the guns anymore. I just won't sacrifice Beam. And it's like, you could have done that half an hour ago.
Yes. So that's my one big thing with this film, or thing that I it doesn't sit well with me, is that Rom gets his promotion to special officer or whatever, because he captures Beam and he fights him there. And I was like, okay, I assume eventually that Rom is going to fight against the Empire.
Mm-hmm.
And then they give the flashback, which I think is very effective and very well done. And then
a very long explanatory flashback. There's like three flashbacks in that flashback.
Yes, which made me laugh every time. Because I was like, okay, this is great.
One time this guy I used to know had an experience in his own life.
But then Beam is getting publicly flogged.
Mm-hmm.
And Rom is the person who has to inflict it upon him. And he does completely. He fully goes along with it. And then after that is when he like questions, he has like self-conscious stuff. And I was just like, would Beam actually forgive him for this when he finds out that Rom is actually working against the Empire? Because he still did this to him.
Yeah.
And
but
it's like
I
pretty
feel
horrific.
Like Beam would do that kind of thing to people too, if it meant, you know, the mission.
Would it though? Like, it's just like, I just don't think, at least for me, I just didn't feel like there was enough like investigation into like, or at least anything into like questioning about Rom.
Yeah, he meets the girl just, and it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, right. And it's just like, is he? Because the movie is certainly playing like there was never a doubt for me that he was working against them. When you're with that character, but when you're with everyone else, obviously he has to pretend. But I was just like, he went so far with like going along with the pretending that I was like, how does this not harm their relationship in any way? Because even if like, it's like, yes, I understood you were undercover, but you like literally tortured me.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, you know, it becomes a big action movie again where Rom is thrown in jail and then Beam comes and save him. And then that whole action scene is ridiculous and dumb. And I loved it completely.
They quite literally defeated them with the power of friendship as this like weird two-man Terminator fight scene. Physics are not real.
Also, the thing I love the most is that like, it is a little goofy in some ways where it's like one of them is, specifically this happens to Rom like three times. Rom is like injured in like a pretty serious way, or is mortally wounded, and then Beam knows how to fix him, and
he puts
then
that green goo on him and he's good.
Yeah. And then like 20 minutes later Rom is running around in action scenes again, even though in the previous stuff he couldn't walk.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, okay, I love this, but this is very funny to me. And I think this movie's really good and I loved it. And I feel kind of like I'm thinking, like questioning stuff too much when I pull up stuff like this. But if this was like in a, I don't know, let's just say this movie reminded me a lot of Fast and the Furious in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
If stuff like that happened, people would be like, well, that doesn't make sense. They created something specifically and the next scene they solved it just to move a character from point A to point B. And I'm like, yes, but it's fun.
And it's, yeah, that's the thing. I think this movie gets away with a lot because it's fun. And they do kind of set it up from the very get-go. Like, our two intro scenes where we meet the characters, neither of these things could possibly happen. And so in doing that and in having these like really long scenes, long extended fight scenes that are like absurd, but by the end of it, you're like, yo, that was dope. It makes you forgiving for the rest of the movie when they continue to do that and when they continue to do this crazy stuff, because instead of sitting there being like, well, that's not possible, your brain instead goes, wouldn't it be cool if that was possible? Even though you know it's not. So there's like a huge suspension of disbelief. And like this movie is reminiscent of like the old samurai films, or at points it honestly feels like a Western with the whole like justice and everything like that. But like complete with like slow motion and stuff like that, you know, none of this stuff is possible. But I think in modern Hollywood action, we will suspend our disbelief, but only like in a little bit. Like I'm pretty sure in one of the Fast and Furious, like The Rock like pulls down a helicopter with his just arm strength.
No, that was Hobbs and Shaw, please.
Sure. But
let's get the lore correct.
We'll suspend our disbelief to like to that degree, but in this movie it requires more. And I think that we do see that in like the samurai films.
No, you nailed it. That's exactly what it is. And I should say, if a movie is fun enough, that doesn't matter.
Totally.
Like if the scene is effective, even though like I can see it's maybe the weakness of a script a little bit, I don't care. Because I'm having fun, and I love the Fast and the Furious movies, so like that's the reason why, right? Is like if you like the stuff, you like the stuff. If it's good, it's good. Like these rules and structure exist for a reason, but if you break them and it works, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
that's kind of where I end up on that. And I think everyone should watch this movie because it's like it is like I was like. Because I'm so used to, and I think, I don't know about you, but I'm so used to like the Disneyfication of action movies where there's like, you don't see any consequences for the hero's actions. And like, I'm speaking specifically about the violence.
Mm-hmm.
This movie is like, you see people get shot in the face. Like you see the bullet holes and shit, which was like, I was like, because I'm so used to like big action movies like this being so PG'd.
Yeah.
That there is a little there, but I was like, oh, that's actually like, you know, they want us to know when they're killing people and when they're not killing people.
Yeah, I read a review on IMDb that was titled probably the most brutally violent PG-13 in a while, plus a dance battle. And that's pretty much the movie.
Yes. And I should say as well that both of the leads were very, very good. And I was constantly amazed by how much they could do, is that they have to act. Do lots of their own stunts, it seemed like to me, or they were very good at hiding the stuntmen. Because there are scenes where it's like they're doing these stunts and their faces are on screen. So I was like, have they done CG to make that? Or is it actually the man?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. They have to know how to dance. They have to know how to sing.
I mean, everything was also sped up to like twice the speed, which was exciting. So
yes, but when the dancing happened and it was those two guys actually dancing and I assumed actually singing as well. And I was just like, what does it take to be a star in Bollywood?
Yeah, it's a lot.
I was just like, most of the very famous people we know do one of these. They've done all four in the same movie. And then I was just like, is this Hugh Jackman's dream, is just to do movies like this? Because
Where he gets to be like manly and also, you know, the power of friendship and sing and dance.
Yes, I was like, did he find the wrong film area? Is like he should have just done what he should be Ray Stevenson's character, but also just get a singing and dance scene as well.
Yeah.
No, but I really like this movie. It's a ton of fun in the best way, and I think everybody should watch it because it's also anti-colonialist.
Well, and also if you go into it knowing that it's over 3 hours and being like, and just accepting that, it doesn't actually feel that long because you're in for a wild ride. It's like sitting there being like, oh, I'm going to binge 3 episodes of a TV show tonight. Once you know that, you're fine with it.
Yeah. And it is a movie, because I did it, that I think if you would, you know, if you feel like you need to like pause and get up and come back to it, it's not, you can do that as well. Like, it's very easy to pick back up where you left off. Like, it is, it can be split if you needed to, if you don't have the 3 hours. But I pretty sure I could have watched it fully. I just had other stuff I needed to do and couldn't, but
you, this movie's totally worth
it. I would like to see the other the Tengulu language version as well, just to see the differences. But it's great. It's a ton of fun. I really don't have much criticism other than those two things, which are relatively minor.
Definitely worth a watch, though. It's a wild ride. It's absurd. Nothing about it makes any sense, but it's so much fun.
So, Carolyn.
Yes.
Are you telling me you like big, dumb action films?
I like big, dumb Bollywood action films.
So you're not going to be okay with putting all 11 Fast and the Furious movies on the wheel.
I've only seen one, so.
Yes, but I'm saying this movie reminded me a lot of those. That's kind of what it is doing, is just being a big, dumb, fun action movie. It also reminded me a bunch of Top Gun Maverick, which is a great movie, but very much a movie where you know everything that's about to happen. And it doesn't matter because it's just really well done.
Yeah, see, there's no singing and dancing numbers in those, so.
As far as you know. But is there anything else you want to say about RRR?
Nope, it's worth a watch and it's easy to find because it's on Netflix.
Okay, so the next movie we're going to be covering is V for Vendetta, but the one after that is going to be... Dun, dun, dun.
My favorite part of the episode where we spin the wheel.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, what is it?
Warrior.
What is that? Is it a sports movie?
Yes, it's the Tom Hardy, Joel Edgerton, Nick Nolte MMA movie. So look forward to that. But where can people find you on the internet, Carolyn?
You can find me at CarolynDunk93 on all the platforms. And where can they find you?
At James Willicks everywhere except on Twitter, where the always is zero. And you can send us an email at letswatchpod@gmail.com. And Carolyn has finished shooting their web series.
Yes, we filmed the first two episodes. It's like a two-part pilot. So we're now in post-production. We're sending out all of our Indiegogo perks to all of our backers. It was a lot of fun. It went very well. And we're very thankful for everyone who helped out.
Yeah. And when it's, I guess, fully released, we'll...
We'll let you know.